It has been an incredible journey, and we're not through yet, but we're moving. We're moving step by step through this process. As I tried to think about how to bring this to a close and how to have a sermon that might sum up what I really want you to think about, I was just drawn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Just listen to these words. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Begin to thinking about this subject of treasure and what people consider treasure. A man recently won in Moscow the karaoke contest, and he was an American. His prize was 1 million Russian dumplings. Not rubles, dumplings. Now, to somebody, that's a treasure. Maybe not to him. A Korean man, I also read this. This happened recently. Off of the Yellow Sea, he was a shrimper, and he caught an octopus in his net. And when he brought the octopus up, on the tentacles were plates stuck to his suction cups. Several plates. They took these plates off and cleaned them up, and come to find out they're rare 12th century plates, and dived down deeper and found, I think, a total of 30 plates. He indeed got hidden treasure. Some people consider different things treasure. The first house that Connie and me, we were first married, and the first house that we rented was this house in Dayton, Tennessee. And next to it was we didn't know who lived there because we never really saw them. We saw a truck go in every morning early. It was kind of a service truck, and we began to look, and it was a locksmith. And this locksmith had a little office, little workshop in the back of this house. And we got to know this man as he would come in, and we'd say hello to him and talk to him. And I asked him one day, I said, "I notice you're always at the back of the house, but I never see anybody at the front of the house. Is it for rent?" I mean, the house we were in was pretty bad. And he said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. This is where my wife keeps her antiques." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Would you like to see?" And I said, "Sure." So he takes me in this house, and I can't believe it. From the floor to the ceiling, there were antiques everywhere. There were passageways you could walk. But there were tables and chairs, and there were end tables, and there were all kinds of crystal, and it's anything you kind of you would imagine in an antique shop. And so I asked the guy, I mean, we barely had enough stuff to live with. We did have one brown couch. But I asked him, I said, "Is any of this stuff for sale?" And he looked at me and he said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "This is not the only house she has full of antiques." And I said, "Well, is she a dealer? What does she do with them?" He says, "Oh, no. She collects them. And she stores them." And this is what he said to me. "It's her treasure." I thought of that oftentimes, about what is it that people treasure? What is it that they hold on to? What is it that they put significance in, thinking somehow it's going to make them feel better? And maybe it did make her feel a little bit better. But it sure didn't help anyone else. And so when I read this verse about treasure, Jesus is giving us a caution. As a matter of fact, in context, this caution goes back to verse 16. He says, "Whenever you fast, stop putting on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." This is what they would do to be noticed. You know, you would look sad. And even the word here, gloomy, it's an interesting word. It's a word used in the Old Testament where the baker and the cupbearer, I think it was, that Pharaoh put in prison, and they had a dream and nobody could interpret it. And Joseph walks in one day, who was also in jail, and he said, "Guys, why the sad face?" That's the word. Really sad. No one could interpret it. And then Joseph did. But Jesus says, "But you, emphatically, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face." In other words, washing is connected with eating. People won't know then, and it becomes your reward, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, this is a secret process for us in making our covenants for this very reason. When you make a covenant this morning, whether you come forward to do it or whether you put it in one of the receptacles in the back or whether you bring it next week or secretly give it to the church, it's sealed. No one knows but one person for the entire 3 years what this covenant process is. For this very reason, I wish we could do it where no one knew but God. But here's where I'm leading. The next three verses use the word treasure 5 times. Jesus wants to get our attention with, what is our treasure? He says here in the same way in verse 19, in English it's translated, "Do not store up for yourselves," but it really should be translated, "Stop storing up for yourselves." Makes a difference. People were doing this. "Stop storing up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Whoops, I only have 3. Where are the other 2 treasures? You don't see them because they're not translated with the word treasure, but it's the same Greek word. It's the word from which we get our word thesaurus. A thesaurus is a treasury of words. A book that has all kinds of synonyms in it. And for those of you who are English teachers, writers, and others, it's a great tool to have to choose a different word in the next paragraph. It's a treasury of words. It means literally to store something up. So this word is used in verse 19. Do not store up. That's the word treasure. Do not treasure up treasure in for yourselves, but treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I've been thinking about that all week long. How is my treasure stored in heaven? Does God have a separate room? Is there some way that maybe the angel, every time something is done for the Lord in secret, that the Lord writes it down, the angel puts it in a book or something, and somehow, what's the treasure all about? And the more I begin to think about this, the more it came to my mind that this storing up is in God's mind. When I do something for the Lord, no one else knows. I do it for Him, not for any other reason. God stores that in His mind, in his remembrance. You know what He does with the things that I do for me and for show and for other things like that? He chooses to forget those. He tells us that in the book. For those covered by the blood of Christ, God chooses to forget your sin. Are you glad? Yes. But He remembers what you do for Him. And that treasure will be waiting for you. And God will not forget you. He will not. I love that about God. There's not some sense in which I'm, you know, every time I do something, I'm putting a little trinket in there and a little trinket. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to see all these little worthless trinkets. No, God's going to see me and He's going to say, "Tom, this is what I remember. Do you remember that time?" And Lord, I think I might remember that. And do you remember that time? And my second son used to do this all the time. It drove us nuts. One time he bought me this candy bar. He's 5 or 6 years old, maybe. The next day he said, "Dad," and he had his R's and B's mixed up. Maybe he's 13. I don't remember how old he was. But he got his R's and his B's mixed up. And he said, "Dad, do you remember When I got you that candy bar, yes, Jack, I remember that. I know I've just told you this, but it goes along with it. But he just kept doing that. And God is going to remember what treasures I have sent up during my lifetime. I say this to you to tell you that God wants us to be more involved in His work and His treasure than we are in ours. And that's why He says here, stop storing up for yourselves treasures on earth that can be stolen, that can ruin from decay, that can be eaten by all kinds of things. He says, but treasure those things. And it's those things that I believe our giving represents here. I know we're on economic hard times. I know we are. We're all pinched. And I don't want any of you to feel in any way that we're trying, that I'm trying to manipulate you, or I'm trying, but I am trying to help you understand the importance of sacrifice and treasure for later. And that's what I believe every gift, whether it's money, prayer, or time and talent, that every gift represents. This is why I think it's a very serious thing that as a church, when we come together, when we present our covenants, that we do so as unto the Lord. Please understand, we know that if you write something down on this covenant card, we know that things may change and that your covenant may change. You'll read that on the card as well. We understand that, and we want to have grace, and we want you to understand grace. And so whatever you decide to do this week, or next week, or for the next 3 years, because this is an ongoing process. As God brings new folks into our church family, we certainly want to make this available to them as well, so that this dream of expanding our education can happen. Now, I don't know if that can support that. Nope. Yep, you think it can. Sorry we're having this microphone difficulty, but I just want to go back to this real quick and show you what else he says here in this passage in Matthew. It helps me to understand. When he finishes all this and he's talked about fasting and then he's talking about giving and he's talking about the things that we consider to be treasure, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he goes to tell us, no one can serve two masters. What are the two masters? Your treasure or God's treasure? Those are the two things competing for each other. And this is why when we come together to sacrifice and to give for the Lord, this is where this falls into place. He says, you will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted. That verb means to hold fast to something. It's literally used in a sentence where it says, I know my rights and I'm holding on to them. That's the idea of this word, devoted. And he says, you'll either be devoted to one and or despise the other, to look down on the other. So I really want you in this time of covenant making to prayerfully do what God would have you do. And then as we fill out our cards, as we bring our cards here or back there, or if you hold your card until the end of the service and put it in one of the places in the back, then we just want you to do it as unto the Lord. And let this be between us and God. I want to lead us in a prayer. Lord, we come to you today reminded of this word, treasure. And Lord, personally, the older I get, the less I care about stuff. And I pray for each of us today that we would take inventory of what our ability is. As that great Macedonian church, as Paul gave that testimony they gave of themselves and beyond. And I pray that with our heart's heart, Lord, we will give as unto you, knowing that one day you will retain this memory and we will enjoy the treasure of a life well lived. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord. It's such a struggle. I pray for those today who are feeling uncertain. And I pray that you'll just let a peace flow, Lord, in their hearts. I pray that there'll be such a grace to fall on this church and this people that we will just grace each other with each and everything that's said and done in this process. Lord, you are our greatest treasure, greater than our sons and daughters, greater than our spouses, greater than our great country. You are indeed, Lord, the treasure of our hearts. So now, as we bring our covenants here to this place, this church, the church that you died for, that you love, that one day you will claim as your very, very own, help us, Lord, to do what you put in our hearts to do, and we will do it as unto you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And in these few quiet moments, we will just ask you to come, and you can come individually. You can come as families. We would love you to do it that way. There's really no right or wrong way, but just come. Those of you that are coming down, put your covenant card in the receptacle here on both sides, and then take a stake that represents your family. Now, if your family divided your covenants, and you, as a wife you have a covenant, as a husband you have a covenant, please feel free to put two stakes in the grass. But this is to represent us, and we want this to be meaningful for you as well. We also, in 2 weeks or so to follow, we'll want you to have this stake to take back home to remind you of this day and that you will pray and seek God.
Thank you. are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Let's thoughtfully pray as the instruments keep on playing us. Let's just thank the Lord for what He's doing, for what He's doing in our church's life, Lord, how He is working. Father, Lord, we just thank You that You are great, and Lord, that You are holy, and that You are just, and Lord, You deserve all the glory, and Lord, help us not to forget that You deserve the glory, that You are good. Lord, as the kids sang, even though bad things happen, You are still always, always good. And we have nothing to fear. It doesn't matter what happens today or tomorrow. We can still trust in You, because You have been faithful to the end. Father, Lord, we praise You and we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. He deserves the glory. Let's sing that last chorus. Can we just sing it a cappella? Can we just do that? You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift Your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift Your holy name. For You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like You. There is no one else like You. For You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like You. There is no one else like You.
Pastor, would you instruct us? Is it raining outside? Does anybody know? If it's my instructions were, if it's not raining, that when we leave here, instead of entering through this hallway for the bistro, we go outside and go in those doors. And we certainly want to welcome all of you to stay with us and eat. We have a grand lunch prepared and great fellowship time. What a fitting way to bring this to a conclusion. It's not raining. So I'm assuming that's correct. Now, just to say this to you, those of you, those of you 55 years old and older, please be first in the line. And let's respect that. We really try to follow that. And when I say the final benediction, then we'll just dismiss you and let's just enjoy our time together. Okay. Okay, wonderful. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for the food that has been provided for us. Thank You, Lord, for today. We pray, just help Your help as we, with our hearts, worship You and make this covenant with You, Lord. And we just thank you so much for our church. We thank you for the sweetness of this fellowship. And we thank you for the privilege of assembling in this great place. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Let's sing it together.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Angels bow.
Angels bow before heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God we serve.
One more time.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God we serve.
One more time, my life.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Before him, heaven and earth adore. What mighty God we serve.
You artists, thank you for worshiping with us today.